firefighters gain ground on area fires. Good evening, I'm Courtney Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Jovetic, and that's our top story tonight, a Montana Evening Edition.
Flathead reporter Katrin Fry tells us why the Flathead is not getting as many fires as the rest of western Montana. Capital reporter Dan Boyce tells us why an owner of several Great Falls casinos thinks his new smoking rooms comply with the Montana Clean Indoor Air Act. And in our feature interview, News Director Sally Mock talks with a rodeo athlete trying to get tobacco out of her sport. Firefighters report significant progress on the Firestone Flat fires burning about 6 miles south outside of Arlee. The fire started Saturday afternoon and within hours blew up into a 7-acre incident. At last report, the fire had scorched 1,750 acres and stood at 40% containment. Fire Information Officer Sydney Super says the crews have worked hard and made tremendous progress.
Definitely the weather's been cooperating with us, and so the crews are in there today again, same and maybe a lot more equipment, and we're going to keep them on shift all day today. We'll have a night shift again and then keep a lot of these same resources again tomorrow and just working really hard to try and finish up the line around the kind of the north and the west side, or north and east side rather, of the fire, and get things fully contained.
Super adds that if conditions hold, pending evacuations will come to an end 5 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Progress is also reported on the Moose Meadow Fire southeast of Phillipsburg on the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest. Incident spokeswoman Claire Pittner says the fire is 5% contained with 3,000 acres burned.
Well, we've got almost 500 firefighters working on this fire right now. So the heli base is actually shuttling firefighters up to the line. We've got several crews out there building hand line, and they're working their way along the heel of the fire and constructing hand line around the perimeter. At the same time, we also have air attack going pretty strong, dropping quite a bit of water.
Yesterday alone, aircraft dropped 76,000 gallons of water on the fire and delivered 16,000 pounds of cargo. Pittner says the winds, which may have caused so many problems over the past several days, have been much calmer today. She says that will hopefully help the effort to get a bigger line around the fire. A new fire burning in the Rock Creek area east of Missoula was reported by an air tanker pilot yesterday afternoon. The Butte Cabin Fire is burning about 15 miles south of Interstate 90. Lolo National Forest spokesman Boyd Hartwig says it's burning in steep, grassy terrain.
We had three single-engine air tankers, three helicopters. They were pretty successful in kind of stopping the progression of that fire. We also sent a load of smoke jumpers out there, but those guys never left the door because the winds were just too gusty. So the fire right now is about 15 acres, burning in kind of a remote area. No structures threatened, but there will be a couple trail closures pending.
The cause of that fire is under investigation, but Hartwig says officials suspect it could be a possible lightning strike holdover. The Montana Department of Revenue is encouraging Montana property owners whose homes or forest lands are damaged or destroyed during wildfire season to apply for property tax relief. Revenue Director Mike Cadis says such a provision in state law provides for relief for property damaged by wildfire or any natural disaster.
We want that to be available to folks. We understand that, you know, when you suffer through a disaster like that, it is a big deal. It causes lots of problems. And so this is one way to at least get a little bit of economic relief as a consequence of the damage that occurred. It's based on your property values. And so if you've lost value in your property, then we'll reduce the valuation. And as a consequence, your taxes would be reduced for however long the property is out of commission.
In addition, a forest land owner whose standing timber has been destroyed by wildfire during 2013 will receive a reduction in the assessed value for 20 years being within the 2014 tax year. The land impacted by the wildfire will need to have been classified as commercial forest land by the Revenue Department prior to the loss. Property owners who believe they may qualify for tax relief due to wildfire or natural disaster damage should visit their local Revenue Department office for more information.
Stage 1 restrictions are scheduled to go into place in much of south and west central Montana on August 1st, but it's a different story in the northwest corner of the state. The greater Flathead area has been holding on to moisture longer than other parts of the state, which land managers say is keeping fires at bay in the area. However, Catch and Fry reports the Flathead has seen numerous small human-sparked fires, and fuels are drying out, especially in the valley bottoms.
Fire danger is listed at high for the Flathead National Forest and across the area. Public Affairs Officer Wade Muehlhoff with the Flathead National Forest says the valley floor is dry, but higher elevations are holding moisture.
We've been fortunate in the northwest part of Montana that over the last few days the temperatures have moderated. We've had some good cloud cover, so things have been cooler. That helps us get a little higher humidity, and humidity, moisture in the air is a good thing. Also, as we look at the forecast, we have the possibility of some moisture coming in later this week.
Muehlhoff says storms in the forecast call for rain, but also could bring lightning. He says each week representatives from Flathead, Lincoln, and Sanders counties, as well as from state lands in the area, Glacier National Park, the Flathead and Kootenai National Forests, and private landowners like Plum Creek meet to look at the fire danger. He says they're looking at the current conditions, the weather forecast, and what firefighting resources are available to determine what the fire danger is and whether or not restrictions should go in place.
It's important to talk about with restrictions that that's not a prevention tool. It's not a tool to prevent human-caused fires. It's really more of a tool to manage resources.
Muehlhoff says the likelihood of going into restrictions increases if resources like firefighters and firefighting equipment are lacking. He says that even without restrictions in place in the Flathead, they're asking people to be cautious, as federal, state, and county lands in the area have seen more than 50 human-caused fire starts this year, covering just over 60 acres.
Luckily, all of these have been manageable and none of them have spread. But any of those have that potential to cause a larger wildfire.
Fire prevention specialist Allie Owelling with the Kalispell Unit of the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation says lightning starts are outside of everyone's control. But people can prevent many starts by exercising caution.
Over the last week, we did have 7 starts. They were all human starts, anywhere from an abandoned campfire, equipment, chains dragging on a truck, a blown tire, fireworks, and like Wade mentioned earlier, huckleberry pickers. So anybody who's out there, there's the potential for a fire start. And any human starts are taking our firefighting resources away from the lightning starts.
Owelling says this month marks the 10-year anniversary of the Robert Fire in the North Fork area. The Forest Service lists that fire as human-caused, burning close to 60,000 acres of national forest and national parkland, and costing nearly $31 million. Right now, managers are not looking at restrictions to outdoor recreation use in the greater Flathead, but will continue monitoring the weather, the fuels, and the human factor. Catherine Fry reporting from the Flathead.
And in other news from around the state, the State Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is closing the lower Big Hole River to fishing starting tomorrow due to low water flows. The closure includes a stretch of the river from the Notch Bottom Fishing Access Site southeast of Glen to the mouth of the river near Twin Bridges. Water flows on the lower Big Hole River have dropped below 100 cubic feet per second, the point at which the Big Hole Drought Management Plan calls for a full fishing closure. The upper Big Hole River remains on hoot owl fishing restrictions, which allows fishing only from midnight to 2 p.m. The Bitterroot and Jefferson Rivers, along with a section of the Clark Fork, Dearborn, Madison, Smith, and Sun Rivers, also have hoot owl fishing restrictions.
A U.S. Senate subcommittee is again taking up bills from U.S. Senator Max Baucus and John Tester that deal with federal land protections in Montana. Tester told the Public Lands, Forests, and Mining subcommittee today that it is time to pass his bill that aims to both mandate more logging and expand wilderness area. The measure was first introduced in 2009 and is billed as a compromise between timber mills and environmentalists. It stalled last year amid partisan differences accentuated by his heated re-election campaign. Baucus told the committee that his Rocky Mountain Front Heritage Act is a plan by locals to preserve current conditions on some 275,000 acres of public land on the Rocky Mountain Front.
Another candidate Democrats were hoping to recruit for Montana's open Senate seat is declining a bid. Stephanie Schriock said in a statement today that the time is not right for her to seek the office. Shriok helped run U.S. Senator John Tester's 2006 campaign and is currently president of the Washington, D.C.-based group Emily's List that helps elect women. Some Democrats have been touting her as a skilled fundraiser capable of taking on a big race. U.S. Senator Max Baucus' retirement earlier this year created the first battle for an open Senate seat in the state since the 1970s, but at this point there are no announced frontrunners. Former Governor Brian Schweitzer has already declined a run for Democrats. Current Republican U.S. Representative Steve Daines says he is considering a bid.
An Idaho forest manager has agreed to revise one of the interim criteria used to define megaloads, but the change wouldn't make it any easier to get approval to haul large loads of oil field equipment through the forest and eventually to Canada. Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest Supervisor Rick Brazell initially said one of the three criteria was that a megaload would require traffic to be stopped. Such loads would have to go through a formal review process, which hasn't been created. The Lewiston Tribune reports Brazell proposed Friday to replace the traffic stoppage criterion with one based on a state rule that requires traffic control plans for loads more than 16 feet wide or 150 feet long traveling on narrow sections of U.S. Highway 12. Brazell notes that two loads currently seeking state permits exceed that width.
A group of Great Falls health advocates are accusing at least nine bars and casinos in that city of not being in compliance with Montana's Clean Indoor Air Act. The law prohibits smoking in public buildings. It fully went into effect in 2009. At issue are so-called smoke shacks attached to the casinos. These ventilated rooms allow people to smoke, drink, and gamble. Opponents say the shacks essentially serve as just another room of the bars themselves, exposing other customers to secondhand smoke. Capitol reporter Dan Boyes tells us the casino owners believe they are within the bounds of the law and that the rooms provide a service in demand.
Not a sound you hear in public buildings in Montana much anymore. Smokers Jade Noble and March of Freeze light up inside a small room built onto the side of the Dew Bar in Great Falls. Freeze is trying her luck at Keno at one of a half dozen or more machines packed into the space.
Usually the only casino we come to because of the smoking room.
A long metal ventilator on the ceiling is circulating air behind the gambling customers. There are no windows, but open vents at the top of the wall in front of them look straight outside. This smoking room is separated from the rest of the Dew Bar by a glass door with a red sign reading, "Restricted Area, Smokers Only." Casino attendant Tuesday Henry is serving drinks on the non-smoking side of the door.
Do you want a couple beers?
She says since the smoke shack was put in last November, that's where most of her customers go.
90% of the time, it's packed in there, and it's pretty quiet out here.
Jim Ahrens is part of the group speaking against the smoke shacks. As far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter that the shacks are good for business.
It's a public health issue.
He agrees bars can have smoke shacks under the Clean Indoor Air Act. He describes the three-walled roof structures outside other bars with totally open fronts. He believes secondhand smoke will be an issue at places like the Dew Bar, no matter how much ventilation there is.
Smoke will come in. There's no question about it.
The real question here is what counts as an enclosed indoor space. Aaron says the small openings in the smoking rooms are not enough for them to be considered outdoor spaces, or smoking patios as they're sometimes called. Stacy Campbell works as the Healthy Lifestyles Section Supervisor with the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. She says if the rooms are considered in compliance with the Clean Indoor Air Act, they are out of compliance with gambling laws.
To have gaming machines in there, it has to be enclosed. And so for gaming purposes, they're saying these structures are enclosed. And for smoking purposes, they're saying they're a patio.
The bar owners are defending the rooms. Lawyer Gregory Smith represents the owners of several of the bars, including the owner of the Dew Bar. County health inspectors have given the okay to several of the smoking shacks. The owners say they meet international standards for ventilation in smoking lounges. Smith argues the rooms are a net positive for secondhand smoke.
I'm sure wherever you are, you've experienced the, I guess I'll be ironic, the joy of walking into a restaurant or a building and running the gauntlet of smokers out front. The non-smokers have to walk through there. Now they don't. Now they're separated.
Siblings Jimmy Klein and Beverly Yearout sit in the non-smoking section of the Dew Bar Casino. Neither smoke. They think the bar owner is really onto something here.
I commend them for it. I mean, I applaud them. I mean, it doesn't bother me just because there's a smoking room. Big deal.
I totally think it's awesome. Those people can go in there and still play machines, and they don't have to sit outside in a on a bench.
County attorneys' offices are responsible for enforcing the Clean Indoor Air Act. Lawyer Gregory Smith's clients are asking for a declaratory judgment from the Cascade County Attorney that the rooms are within the bounds of the law. A hearing is scheduled for October. I'm Dan Boyce reporting from Great Falls.
A Montana prosecutor is asking a judge to accept a confession from an illiterate man charged in the killing of a high school teacher. Defense attorneys have sought to suppress Michael Keith Spell's alleged confession to the 2012 murder of 43-year-old Sherry Arnold of Sydney. Deputy Richland County Attorney T.R. Halverson said in court papers filed Friday that there was no evidence of police misconduct during interviews with Spell after his arrest. Halverson says officers made sure Spell understood he did not have to talk without a lawyer present. Spell and co-defendant Lester Van Waters Jr. have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors intend to seek the death penalty, although a pending defense motion would make Spell ineligible for capital punishment because of his mental disabilities.
You may have already seen them, new TV ads featuring Montana high school rodeo athlete promoting tobacco-free rodeo. The ad are sponsored by the State Health Department's Tobacco Use Prevention Program, and they're airing statewide. 18-year-old rodeo champion Charlie Yeager is featured in one of the ads. Yeager and her family run an 1,100-acre cattle ranch 20 miles west of Shoto along the Rocky Mountain front. She's been riding all her life and has been competing in rodeo since she was in the third grade. She just graduated from Shoto High School and will attend the University of Montana Western in Dillon next year as a member of the rodeo team. Tobacco use has been common part of the rodeo tradition, but Yeager thinks that tradition can and should be broken. In tonight's feature interview, she talks with news director Sally Mock about her efforts to get tobacco out of her sport and about her own love of rodeo, where she competes in several events.
I team rope, breakaway, goat tie, I run barrels and pole bend.
I assume you've won some of these events over the years.
Yeah, I've done all right. You know, there's always room for improvement, though.
What does done all right mean?
I've got a few buckles, you know. I never won a state title. You know, things never have gone my way at state. But I'm happy with what I've done.
Why do you like rodeo so much?
It's been in our family for such a long time. And, you know, it's not like basketball or anything. If you do really good, you can still lose. You know, if you try your hardest and you practice up and done all you can do, it normally pays off for you.
Have you ever gotten hurt? It can be a little dangerous, can't it?
Oh, yeah, I've had my tumbles before. Quite a few.
Any broken bones, or how serious?
You know, in the barrel racing, I've had my horse flip over on me coming home. Goat tying, you're getting off a moving horse, you know, you'll fall and hurt yourself that way, but I've only had a few concussions. I've never broke any bones yet.
Only a few. You're off to college at Western in Dillon, and you hope to be on the team there, or are on the team?
You know, I've signed my letter of intent, so I will rodeo, but you still have to, for a team, you still have to be the better one in the school to get points for your school, but you can still go in college rodeo.
Rodeo is one of those sports where tobacco is fairly present, isn't it? And I assume probably mostly chewing tobacco. Am I right about that, or set me straight?
Yeah, you're very right. The tobacco companies used to support the college rodeo, and they'd give us tons of money. So it's always been there. They're either giving them money or, you know, kids just using it.
And it just goes back to the tradition of the sport, doesn't it, in some ways?
Yeah, kind of.
What about you? Have you ever used tobacco or been tempted?
You know, I've never chose to use it. You know, you're always around it, but it's never been something I've ever wanted to do.
And why not, do you think?
Well, I've never found it nice, or I've never just wanted to do it. It's always kind of been disgusting to me. But another huge mindset is just my family members that have used it and other people that have been in my life, that it never works out for them in the long run.
You lost a grandfather, didn't you, to lung cancer?
Yeah, I lost a grandfather, and an old guy that used to work for us for several years. His name was also Charlie, and he was pretty close to the family, and he died of cancer, too.
And were they both smokers or chewers?
Oh, smokers.
What got you into tobacco prevention as an activist, which I think is fair to say you are now?
I'd have to say it started out the end of my eighth grade year when I was just asked to go to the REACT meeting. You know,
And explain what REACT is.
It's just a high school club that it just REACT against corporate tobacco. You know, we've always helped out with Red Ribbon Week. We try to get little kids into it and everything.
You got involved because you think it's, quote, disgusting, and also because you've lost people you care about to tobacco use. And now you're in a TV ad. Tell me how you got involved with that.
I was lucky enough to know Mary Owens. She's kind of the head REACT person, along with Chrissy Hansen, in High School Rodeo. And she runs the whole REACT thing up on the High Line. I've always talked to her and helped her out and everything, so I guess I got lucky and she called me.
And the ads are running statewide. They're public service announcements. And in the ad that you're in, you talk about your grandfather and you're quite emotional in the ad. I think it's a very moving ad and also shows you, of course, with your horse and in doing some rodeo stuff. So very effective ad, don't you think?
You know, I would say so. I hate crying, and for me to cry on that was pretty rough.
Brave of you to do that. What's been the reaction? The ads have been on a little bit. What's been the reaction you're getting from your peers and maybe from people you don't even know?
Oh, you know, I'll be, Shoto sort of got the small town feeling to it. So I'll be walking down, and the people that you know, people in the community that you don't know, you know, they come up to me and they say good job and they really liked it. And actually, the reaction I've gotten from my peers is different than I thought. You know, I thought I'd get teased because nobody ever sees me cry. But they actually like it too. So I've been pretty surprised.
Are you seeing a change among your peers about tobacco use, Charlie? There are a lot of efforts now to get young people to stop using tobacco. Do you think they're paying off? Are you seeing a change?
You know, I have seen a change since I first started out high school rodeoing. You know, in high school, there's not much of a difference. But throughout the rodeo scene, I've seen a good change, I should say.
And people don't realize, and I'm sure you do, rodeo is an athletic sport. You have to be in good shape to be a good rodeo participant, don't you?
Yeah, you do. It's just like any other sport. If you get hurt, it's been proven if you chew that if you get a cut, it takes longer. So if you get seriously injured, it's going to take a lot longer to heal up.
Just one of many facts, right, about the downside of tobacco use. Charlie, are you off to a rodeo again soon? What's your summer looking like?
You know, I'll actually do a youth rodeo in Shoto this next weekend, and then after that, there's another rodeo in Helena, and I've been hitting some NRA rodeos a little bit. Not as hard as I would like to, because I'm kind of busy haying.
I think I interrupted your haying today. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Anything I can do to get out of that tractor sometimes is pretty nice.
Well, happy to help. Well, I have been speaking with Charlie Yeager. Charlie is an 18-year-old member of a ranch family living outside of Shoto, and she's starring in some new public service announcements airing statewide on television, put together by the State Health Department and by the Montana Tobacco Prevention Program, urging young people like herself to not use tobacco. And Charlie, congratulations on the ad. I think you do a wonderful job in it, and it's a great cause. And so congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
In tonight's weather forecast for west of the Continental Divide, tonight calls for mostly clear skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Tomorrow expect partly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-80s to lower 90s. For central Montana, tonight looks for partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will stay around 45 to 55 degrees. Tomorrow also calls for partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will be around 75 to 80 degrees. And for southwest Montana, tonight expect mostly cloudy skies, then clearing. A chance of showers and thunderstorms are likely, with lows around 45 to 50 degrees. Tomorrow calls for increasing clouds with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will stay in the upper 70s to lower 80s. And now for the editorial comments of Al Smith.
Is Congress doing its job? Most of us would agree that the answer is no. Congress's approval ratings are at an all-time low for good reason, but that doesn't mean they aren't busy. The House will be voting on 10 bills this week to highlight their headline grabber, Stop Government Abuse Week. Now, if the name makes you think this might be a renewed effort to rein in the NSA's surveillance program, you'd be wrong. Maybe the name conjures up hope that Congress is looking at how to rein in the TSA before every air traveler is irradiated. No such luck. No, the House isn't looking for ways to protect you and your constitutional rights. It's trying to further limit the government's ability to protect you from corporate wrongdoing. Many regulations that protect the public are already too weak, and people die as a result. Further weakening regulations means more people would die. The main bill is the perversely named Regulations from the Executive in Need of Scrutiny Act of 2013, or RAINS Act. The Coalition for Sensible Safeguards says this bill represents the most radical threat to our government's ability to protect the public from harm in generations. The bill will delay or shut down the implementation of critical new public health and safety protections, thereby making industry even less accountable to the public. It will only benefit those corporations that wish to game the system and evade safety standards while doing nothing to protect the American public. The coalition concludes that, simply put, the RAINS Act would take the dysfunction and obstructionism that plagues our political process even worse by giving one chamber of Congress veto power over any new significant public health and safety protection, no matter how non-controversial or common sense it may be. Congress should be searching for ways to ensure federal agencies enforce laws designed to protect our food supply, water, air quality, financial security, and much more, not throwing up roadblocks to sensible safeguards that protect the American people. Good thing we have the Seventh Amendment to assert our rights and seek compensation if corporate actions harm us or our families. Oops, as usual, that right is also under attack. The House Judiciary Committee is considering the Lawsuit Abuse Reduction Act. A more apt name would be the Seventh Amendment Limiting Act or the Corporate Malfeasance Protection Act. Some consumer groups charge the bill will burden an understaffed judiciary, prolong expensive litigation, and unfairly penalize consumers and employees as participants in civil lawsuits, as well as have a discriminatory impact on civil rights, employment, environmental, and consumer cases. For now, these House bills are just for show, a sop to the House's corporate benefactors that the Senate will likely not approve. But then, who knows what the Senate might do? The Senate is having a hearing tomorrow on a new bipartisan bill on toxic chemicals. The bill would strengthen some federal regulation of chemicals. Sounds good. Unfortunately, the bill would also wipe out all state regulation dealing with toxic chemicals and limit or prohibit state lawsuits by people harmed by toxic chemicals. Get a little more federal regulation that is always subject to rollback or repeal by Congress, and lose states' rights to their own regulations and take away citizens' rights to hold corporations accountable in court for the harms they cause. Doesn't sound too good for we the people. What's at risk? In California, laws that try to protect consumers from the most toxic materials. California Attorney General Kamala Harris says her office has concluded that the measure would imperil Proposition 65, which voters enacted in 1986 to limit contamination of groundwater. Here in Montana, our constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment would be subservient to the new federal regulations. Montana laws that protect our air and water would be preempted by new federal regulations. Montanans to hold corporations accountable in our state courts for harms they cause to people and property could be denied. Of course, corporate makers and distributors of toxic chemicals would gladly comply with tighter federal regulations, right? Well, regulation is always subject to rollback or repeal in Congress, exactly what the House is trying to do this week. Most federal regulation of toxic chemicals, coupled with less or no state regulation and less or no access to state courts, That prospect doesn't make me feel safer. So what happens when an industry is loosely regulated as the House wants? Tonight on Montana PBS at 9 p.m., Frontline will be looking at one loosely regulated industry, the assisted living industry. The concept of assisted living began as an effort to create a less costly, more independent alternative to nursing homes for America's seniors. Today, corporate assisted living chains dominate the industry with a dual purpose, caring for their residents and pleasing their shareholders. And they do so with no federal oversight and little state oversight. In Montana, unlike a number of states, residents and their families can hold these chains accountable in our courts, at least for now. This is Al Smith for the Montana Trial Lawyers.
Al Smith is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Courtney Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Jovetich. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.